Pleasant. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to PNC Studios here at Hallison. Another edition of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. I'm Jeff Joniak. We'll be together until 7:30 tonight. Good evening, coach.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing fine. Rough one in Tampa, though, yesterday, right?
No doubt. You know, I think anytime you turn it over four times just in the first half, you're going to have some trouble no matter who you're playing.
So do you lose sleep on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very frustrating to watch, and you know, just the combination of things that happened. I think we walked in at halftime. There were three non-completions, and all of them were turnovers: sack, fumble, and two interceptions. And you know, you go into halftime at 26-0, and you know, our guys hung in there the second half, but was too little, too late.
Even along the way, that number three, you talked about those three incompletions, three defensive penalties in that first half that could have changed the circumstances, field position or whatnot. I mean, that's also a very significant thing.
Yeah, no doubt. But I mean, you know, defensively, you hold a group like that to one touchdown. And even that was helped by a foul that was pretty questionable. The one on Willie Young, they gave him first and goal. You know, that was one of the ones we had him off on their touchdown.
And then the defense put it in a very difficult spot because of the Terry Cohen decision. That one, it seems like unthinkable that anybody would ever try to do that. Is that just a part of, and I'm not making excuses for him, there are none really, but, you know, he thinks big. He thinks he could scoop it and probably run away from these guys.
And that's what makes him special. You know, I think, in that situation with three guys hanging around you, it's on the second bounce, you just get away from it. And those are lessons that he'll learn, and he still has a bright future ahead of him.
Even though coaches instruct all these guys, especially the young ones. I mean, and it's all fundamental at some point. In the heat of the moment, you really don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I mean,
they may not be listening.
In that case, again, it's, he realized it, but a little bit too little too late.
You knew this was going to happen. If Mike Glennon had a game or a moment that happened like yesterday, the conversation was going to be loud about the quarterback position, given how everybody was intrigued by what Mitchell Trubisky did in the preseason and whatnot. So you had to be aware that this was going to be a discussion point after the game.
Well, no doubt. You know, I think, a week ago against Atlanta, you know, I think Mike played well enough for us to win. He did have a couple of drops at the end of that game. And really, to be honest with you, he had six drops yesterday. Otherwise, his numbers are a little bit better. But, you know, it came down to a couple decisions. I know he'd like to have back. We'd like to have back. And, that's his second football game. You know, I think it's
Can we talk about that a little more in depth? Because I know you go out and get somebody in free agency. He's named the starter. He holds on to that starting position. He starts the season. But the fact is, again, nobody's making excuses, but it is more of a he hasn't played a lot of football in the last 3 years.
No, and it's a new system. You know, I think, again, we've got to be better. We got to do a better job of coaching it. We got to do a better job of executing it. He made some good plays yesterday. It's just a matter of, you know, the couple of that were a little bit rough that all of us would like to have back, you know, were very critical. So he'll get better for it. And, you know, I think his supporting cast will get better for it. And, we've got all this week to prepare for Pittsburgh Steelers.
And a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team we'll talk more about in the third segment tonight with head coach John Fox at 6:34 here on the Bears Coaches Show. So many different circumstances would dictate making changes during a game. What would those be for a John Fox coach football team, aside from an injury situation? Do you look a guy in the eye and see if he's still dialed in, ready to go? Or what types of things do you evaluate during the course of a game to make that decision?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's happened before, you know, in my career. You know, it's just you kind of know. I think right now is way too early to do anything like that. As we prepare Mike, it's hard to get everybody ready for a game as far as reps. But back to Mike again, I thought he did some good things, you know, some very good things. He made some good throws, some tough throws. We haven't been well-oiled at wide receiver at this point, so, you know, that's a factor. Like I said, we did have six drops, and so, you know, again, it's a supporting cast, too. It's not always just one guy.
And helping out a quarterback, no matter who it is, would be the running game, and you want to run the ball, and yesterday it just wasn't happening. So that really puts you in a real bind.
Well, that was key. You know, in the first half, I think we had 13 rushes, and I think we had 16 yards. So it's, you know, you're not going to go back to that when, you know, you're getting stoned like that. And, you know, even late in the game. I mean, we got down there three times late in the third and started the fourth quarter, and we came up with one score. But, you know, and in that process, I think, you know, Mike did a pretty good job. Our line protected a little bit better in kind of a must-pass situation. But that's not going to be the way we're going to play. And unfortunately, that's not the way we played in the first half.
And because of injury, you know, you lost a couple of players on that line, Compton and Sittner later in the game. But, I mean, it's a difficult scenario. You got one guy playing three positions during a game. I mean, situationally, it's just not a comfortable position to be in for anybody offensively.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I mean, the game was pretty much out of hand now. It was 26-0 at halftime, and, you know, those guys did actually a pretty good job, you know, protecting. And, you know, we were in, you know, basically one-dimensional in a pass-oriented catch-up type deal, and, you know, those guys responded well.
In addition to the quarterback conversation, injuries again. And the biggest one, I guess, is Nick Kwiatkowski, only because he's replacing Jarrell Freeman. They have the same – well, it's the same area. I don't know if it's the same injury. You can tell us more about that if there's any updates at this hour. But, I mean, here's a young guy that you really were counting on at this point. And the oddity and the rare situation where a guy gets the same injury at the same position a week later, it's nuts.
Yeah, it's when you look around the league, you know, you're seeing a lot of it, and that one's weird because they were both pectoral
just
type
making
of
tackles.
Yeah, just, you know, putting your arm out. You see it a lot in football, and unfortunately, it's been really the same two positions.
Eddie Jackson had himself a good tackle game. In light of this loss, there are some individuals that, you know, you can say did some good things. Seven of them were solo tackles, too. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think, again, a real aware young player that is going to get better every week. And, you know, Eddie's a guy that's got, you know, a great football IQ for a young guy. He's very mature. He has a good feel on deep balls. You know, but he'll continue to get better. He missed a couple things that we'd like to have had done, but all in all, you know, not bad second outing.
And welcome back to the program as we get you set for the Bears and Steelers coming up on Sunday at Soldier Field. Time for the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity. We don't have highlights of this guy cut up because, you know, it's just a safety coming downhill making tackles, but last night we figured it was Eddie Jackson, Xfinity's player of the game, and that's the underrated aspect. You certainly don't want your DBs, and I think the top four tacklers were DBs yesterday, being your leading tacklers. But the fact of the matter is, there was a lot of throwing going on, too. They make the tackles, you get a tackle. There was not a lot of yards after the catch yesterday.
No, I think really their longest gain of the day was 21 yards. And you go against a team, you know, it's got the likes of Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, you know, that's not a bad day. Unfortunately, we had some short fields that, you know, were the difference.
And you don't look ahead like I do because it's just interesting to look. Okay, so you had week one, you got to deal with Julio. Mike Evans was this week, not to mention their other talent. Now you got Antonio Brown this week. And then you got the Packers on a short week on Thursday with Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson. Those five guys were the top touchdown receiving receivers in the league a year ago, going up against your revamped secondary and stuff. Not that you're looking forward. I'm just saying this is a heck of a four-pack of games, and you knew this going in, good teams, that your team was going to have to adjust to really quickly.
Well, no doubt. I think, and thing that was a boogaboo a year ago was the turnovers and, both interceptions as well as fumbles, and we were minus 15, I think, on the season. So, you know, again, the formula kind of worked, gave us an opportunity against Atlanta, not so much Sunday against Tampa. And it's going to be the same type of situation come Sunday versus Pittsburgh.
You're going up against Pittsburgh. That was your first NFL job with Chuck Knoll back in 1989, and I just went back to look at that season just for kicks. And it's all related to quarterbacks, too. I wanted to know from the people that have influenced you as a coach, even in your early days, and you certainly form your own philosophy as you go, and you have your own opinions and so forth, but we're talking about a guy who gave you Sid Gilman. Okay, he's the father of offense, right? That's what they call him, you know, of today's modern game. You had Chuck Knoll there in 89. And along the way, what kind of input did you respect from some of these coaches that formed you as a head coach as it pertains to the quarterback position? Because you're a defensive guy, but you're in charge of the whole kit and caboodle.
Well, going back, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, with Chuck. I think my very first NFL game against the Cleveland Browns. And
51-0.
51-0. And believe it or not, I mean, I didn't think they were that good, you know, right? But Yeah, we turned it over six times. I think defensively that day, we
remember your quarterback.
We basically, yeah, Bobby Brister. You don't forget stuff like that. But, you know, in Three Rivers, it was wasn't exactly a great welcoming party, 51-0. But and then we go to Cincinnati. That was a good football team. They were coming off a Super Bowl and almost win against the 49ers.
You lost 41-10.
Yes, and so that was our first two games of the season. And I thought Chuck did a great job. I think we were pretty salty on defense, and we just get back to running the ball and not turn it over. And you know, I think we went on to the playoffs and almost made it to the championship game.
Yeah, you went 9-7. You won the first round of the playoffs. You upset the Houston Oilers, I believe. And but it all relates, okay, that you don't panic by position. You know, everybody wants to look to the future. Obviously, they just dismiss the present. You have a locker room of 53 men that you got to answer to, in addition to a franchise and the ownership and whatnot. You have to make decisions for now as well as building toward the future, correct?
No doubt. You know, and I think, I understand the excitement, you know, over Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he's, he's going to be a heck of a player. He just needs time to develop and, watching, going through practice, looking at video, getting used to the NFL way of life. How to prepare and how to get ready is going to be really, really important, and you don't want to rush him into it. You know, Mike Glennon's a guy that's new to us. He's got all the skill set. Again, getting used to our offense, he's going to get better. You know, I thought he was pretty good in week one, and, a couple of throws I know he'd like to have back in week two, and, we just can't panic. You know, there's more to it, than just one guy.
And you did mention today when asked, you do have conversations daily on every position, not just quarterback, with the front office, with Ryan Pace. You guys talk about everything. You have to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we do.
And is it a topic of conversation almost every day?
Yeah. I mean, whether it's on the plane ride home, whether it's, post game, this is what we do, as we evaluate players and, their performances and, kind of their development and where they are in that process.
Do you buy the idea, because there's people on both sides of that argument, that you could hurt a young player, especially at the quarterback position, if you do put them in a little bit too early, or because the surrounding parts aren't quite up to speed yet? Or do you dispute that kind of myth, or not myth, that kind of argument?
Well, I think it's individual. I think each case is different. Obviously, if you put a guy out there and he gets tattooed four times, a series, it's not good. That doesn't breed confidence in anybody. The guy goes out and lights it up, avoids, and can make things happen. Obviously that's a good experience. So, right now I think we're still in a developmental stage, and it's a new game. It's a different game. You see a lot of different looks, and you'd like a guy to get exposed to that, before you throw him out there.
That's John Fox. Another segment with Coach coming up. Jeff Joniak and John Fox, our remaining moments with the head coach. So some of the guys that have been injured, it looks like they're getting there. I don't know if they will be for this week, but it's certainly sooner rather than later. We're talking about starters, Kyle Long, Prince Amukamara, and potentially Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah,
Feeling optimistic?
Yeah, I think, we were probably close last week. They were limited in some practices last week. So, that's the hope that they'll be out there Wednesday, and we'll just, see how good they look and evaluate them. But all three of those guys, have missed the first 2 weeks of the season, and, they'd be a welcome addition for sure.
All right, let's talk Jordan Howard. He came to the podium today up here at Halas Hall, and, you could tell he's not quite himself right now. I know he's a little banged up, too, with his shoulder. But, he had so much success last season. And it happens often with rookie running backs. That second year is a little more challenging until you get your legs under you again and get going. Do you sense that from him at all?
A little bit. I think, obviously we have a lot of confidence in Jordan. I think he proved that to most people a year ago. We've had a little bit of a slow start, running the football, in particular yesterday in Tampa. When you go 13 carries for 16 yards, it's not much output there. So, again, there's more than just the running back. There's a lot of people and a lot of involved in the run game and the run element, and that's an area that we definitely need to pick up, especially this week against Pittsburgh.
It is fun. I love it. I love it when you have Tariq and Jordan in the lineup at the same time, whether they're in the backfield or Tariq split out or wing or whatever the case may be. What kind of mismatch problems do you create with that for defenses with both of them in there? You got to keep your defense guessing a little bit. You don't have all your big guns at receiver right now, so it's a nice changeup. What do you think of it?
Well, I think, you know, Tariq's a threat, you know, both out of the backfield as well as lined up wide as a receiver. And, you know, he's got some explosive playmaking ability that I think he's, you know, already kind of shown. So, you know, I think we'll continue to grow that. You know, when you get both of those guys in there, there's, you know, you just see how the defense reacts, what kind of defense, whether they play nickel or stay base. And, you know, we saw a variety of things yesterday against Tampa. And we got some third downs. I mean, one area we did do offensively, we were 50% on third down, which, you know, we hadn't been that successful the week before. So, you know, again, there's some bright spots. We had one sack. You know, when you throw the ball 45 times and give up one sack, that's actually pretty good. We just got to make a couple better decisions, and, you know, hopefully we can get that going here pretty quick.
Hey, one more thing about Cohen and that punt. Did you as a coach worry, like I'd be worried. I was worried. Okay, so now the kid made this mistake. Is he going to try way too hard to gain it back by doing something offensively or and another punt return? Does that enter your head, or do you have to counsel him or the assistant, in this case, Jeff Rogers? Okay, now just calm down. It was done. Don't do it again, but just keep going.
You know, I think, you know, he's the kind of Tariq's kind of the player that's, you know, he's not lacking for confidence. You know, he wasn't crushed. I mean, his head wasn't down.
I mean, there could be some guys that would be.
Yeah, no doubt. But he's not one of those guys. You know, I think, you know, if you just watched him play the rest of the game, you know, on offense, all that stuff affects everything. So, you know, there was no, you know, jilted confidence or any of that kind of thing. I mean, he's going to go play football. He gives it everything you got every play, and he's not going to change that.
On our TV show last night, Game Night Live, I broke down Pernell McPhee on three different defensive plays. He looked good off the snap, explosive, on a pass rush, hit the quarterback, made a play in space, good fundamental play to keep a guy hemmed in, forced the fumble. 24 snaps increased. Did you like his performance?
Yeah, I thought he had a good, you know, game two. The first game he didn't get that many reps. You know, he got more reps and responded to it well. You know, another guy, you know, Danny Trevathan. You know, he's a guy that, you know, didn't play all preseason. I mean, this has been it, you know, Atlanta and at Tampa. So he'll continue to grow. And, you know, both those guys, I thought, you know, they were involved in the one takeaway that we had, you know, coming back to the ball and then Pernell knocking it out with his arm. So, you know, and it was really good hustle by Leonard to get over there and get the fumble. So hopefully we can continue to grow that and improve every week, and hopefully we're going to have to step it up even more this week against Pittsburgh.
Big Ben, Brown, Bell, lots of weapons. Bryant, killer bees, really. Those guys are good.
Well, I mean, you know, way back, you know, whenever it was, the schedule came out after the draft, April, whenever that was, I mean, you know, you lined up those first four, they were, you know, pretty impressive. So, you know, again, it you know, it's capable. I mean, I think we proved that week one. We had opportunities. Now you just got to play smart, tough football, and, you know, have a chance to win and find a way to get it done.
Is it typical Steeler defensive football, physical?
Yeah, no, they're, you know, they're coming from all over the place. They're very multiple, you know, and then they've got big play capability, you know, on offense. You know, you mentioned those weapons, then you got Big Ben, you know, operating it. He does a good job of extending plays, and, you know, he's very smart with football.
All right. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Good luck this week. That's Bears head coach John Fox. Coming up next, Ed Donatell, the Bears secondary coach, joins the program. Hey, welcome back to the program. Here now with secondary coach Ed Donatell. Good evening, Ed. Good to see you once again.
Good evening. It's nice to be back.
How's it going?
Really good.
Tough day yesterday, obviously, for the whole team, but that defense in the second half, you know, quieted things a little bit after the turnovers hurt the team offensively. And overall, you're facing teams that are coming in this first four games of the season with a lot of weaponry. Everybody knew it coming in. It was going to be a big challenge for you guys. What a test for your defense. What a test for your secondary with all the quarterbacks that you're going to be facing, really in the first half of the season, and the types of receivers and the types of personnel they have out there. Don't you agree?
Yes, we have some really good groups of skill coming at us in this first month, and we knew that when we looked at the schedule. But this is a team, you know, our number one thing is to win ball games, and we're hard at work as a staff and the players, and we're going to get it right.
True or false? Because it's come up to me many times when people talk about the secondary. It's frankly no different, and you say true or false, than an offensive line being, you know, in as one, the chemistry, the back end, too, the chemistry. Do you feel it's important that four, and with the nickel package has that chemistry. They start to understand where each other's supposed to be and trust each other, and that's a process too.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, forming that chemistry and these guys working together, and there's four new guys because Kyle Fuller actually missed last year. And I'm really impressed the way they're working together every week. And we're really on a quick test to get everybody ready and up to speed. And you mentioned that we're playing great school every week in this first month. So it's been fun. And they're growing and they're working really hard.
Got a nice mix of youth and experience. Quentin Demps and Marcus Cooper come in. Demps already a team captain in his first. And that's rare for a guy to step in and be a team captain. It says a lot about him.
Yes, he is. He's a really good leader. And what we do when we find a guy that comes from another system, we try to find out as much as we can about him. And we try to plug in his learning experiences and the things he can do leadership-wise to help our group. And he's done that to this point.
Do you do guys naturally do that when you've been in the league a long time? You've coached some unbelievable talent. Do you let that horse ride a little bit, or do you urge them to become that with your room?
Yeah. Well, every case is different. And my job as a coach is to study the player when he enters our team. And then I just watch it happen, and then I guide him along the way.
And it's important to have that veteran voice, too. I think, Ryan, and we've brought this up in the show here in the last several weeks, there's been a veteran of 30-something-year-old guy at almost every position group to help kind of lead the way a little bit. Is there value in that for you as a coach as well to have that additional voice?
Yes, it's no secret. We've been very young the last couple of years, and bringing in and Q Demps has brought on a calming effect to our group. So he's served that role very well, and he's helping the young guys.
You mentioned Fuller. It seems like, and he laughed when I brought it up. Towards the end of training camp, I said, Kyle Fuller looks like Kyle Fuller again.
Absolutely. I couldn't feel better for the kid because he's worked so hard, and last year was such a struggle for him, and he just wasn't well. And this year he's got great vibration, and he's off to a pretty good start.
This is Ed Donatell, the Bears secondary coach. And now the Bears prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers here with Ed Donatell on the Bears Coaches Show at Hallis Hall. It's a family business sometimes when coaches have children who are in that environment, and then they go on to play and or want to coach. You see it all across the board throughout the league. And you've been fortunate to have two boys that are in the league. Tommy is a coach with the Seattle Seahawks. And Steve was a tight end that had camp this year with the Seattle Seahawks. How proud are you to have guys in the league?
It's a lot of fun, and it's a compliment. You know, when you work in this business and there's ups and downs along the way, and to see your children want to follow you, that's pretty good, pretty special treat. But I'm just proud, and I had a lot of fun during preseason because there were a lot of games going on and a lot of talking back and forth and so forth. But really just a lot of fun. I'm very proud of the guys.
If Steve continues to try and get on a roster, would he like to go into coaching too eventually, do you believe?
Yeah, I think he's going to have to stay in football somehow, personnel, coaching, and so forth. But he's looking to get on a practice squad and take that next step. He's a long snapper and tight end, so we'll see what happens.
Well, long snappers always have work.
Yeah,
right?
They could.
You can always find a job in long snapping, even in an emergency. It's in the blood sometimes for guys, right? Your own sons, you got to look them in the eye and see if they, and you know what? Sometimes they go to school to be something, and they leave behind something great because they can't stop thinking about football. Is that the case with your sons?
Yeah, it is. You know, I ask them, is football something they really like a lot? Or is it something you can't live without? And if it's something you can't live without, you ought to pursue that.
Were you the same way, obviously?
No question about it. And so I've just had so much fun watching these guys and seeing them advance. And who knows what's in the future for them.
All right. We have talked about this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again for folks who haven't heard this before. But some of the people that you've coached in this league, from Ronnie Lott to Steve Atwater to Leroy Butler, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Champ Bailey, Brian Dawkins. It reads like a list of people that you all want to follow in terms of being football players, let alone members of the secondary. Those guys right there, I mean, you can't find one negative thing to say about that group of people right there. Those guys are all leaders, every one of them.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's been a fun part of my career to be part of all those guys and their play. And what could I learn from every guy? You know, and I kind of have a special couple things written down to everything they've taught me, and that's helped me be a better coach today.
Do you tell your players about those guys, or do players today don't want to hear about those guys?
I leverage those guys as much as I can. You know? I have videos of them, and I have stories about them, and the ones they can remember, I'm going to tell them about.
Well, the interesting thing, because, you know, the worst thing I think a coach could do is to not have two ears and one mouth. Sometimes you want to listen to what they have to say as great players, right? Because they're in it. They played it at a high level. You gather a lot from that that you can use.
You are absolutely right. And they have taught me things along the way. And it's not they're smarter than me. It's just I have all the information from all of them. And that is very powerful.
So you know what a doggone good defensive back looks like when you put all that together.
Yes, I do.
You can see it a mile away, right?
Yes, I can.
The traits, the characteristics, the mentality, the heart, the cognitive ability, all that.
Yes, I can. Yes, that's very true. And, again, it's just been a pleasure along my whole career to be around those guys see the special things that they bring to the game and witness it firsthand.
Not being a scout per se, that's not your day-to-day job. Your day-to-day job is the coach. When the offseason hits, then they get your opinions and so forth. Is it hard sometimes? Do you see a trait in somebody and say, this guy could become a guy like one of the guys I just mentioned? Is that risky or does that naturally happen?
No, I think it's something I got to add in. And we got a wonderful personnel department, and I think we work very cohesively together. But when I do see something, I have a strong opinion about it, they'll listen. And it's worked well for us.
All right, we picked Eddie Jackson, and yesterday's loss is our player of the game yesterday. Talk about his development, because he certainly had a great experience working with a heck of a secondary coach and head coach, Nick Saban, at Alabama. Seemed to be ready to go right when he got here.
Yeah, a lot of his experiences through college got him ready for this step, and they played in so many big games. They have a very comprehensive system. So when he stepped into our thing, he was used to a pro system. But right now, you know, we're very pleased with what he's done in two games. You know, this guy is a guy that can really see on the back end of the field. And you're going to see ball production from this guy coming this year soon. I hope so. Very soon.
I'm telling you, that is a topic. I mean, our local media, we all ask about the turnover thing over and over and over again. There were close calls yesterday. I mean, they were. Kyle almost got one. You know, Bryce Callahan from Nickel flashed in front. Yeah. I don't know if those are catchable balls or not. That's your evaluation. But will that of the more aggressive they become, the more they get to know each other, do you honestly, even tip ball, all that stuff will come?
Absolutely. You know, I fully intend for that to happen. We have our never sleep takeaway department at work, and we're not going to rest till it's done.
The never sleep takeaway department. Yeah. Is it pretty busy?
Yeah, it's very busy. Right.
I want to learn more about that. That's Ed Donatell. One more segment with Coach. All right, we're going to go through some guys quickly just to give a little thumbnail on how they're coming along. Let's start with Marcus Cooper, the new addition at cornerback.
Yeah, he's two games into it, and he's come over here. He's brought some great experience from the Arizona Cardinals. I'm impressed with the way he's gone up and played some good man-to-man against some good opponents in these first two games.
We mentioned Kyle Fuller earlier and Quentin Demps. Bryce Callahan, who had some downtime in training camp but has got back and be that nickel right now. He's a very intriguing player for many different reasons. If he stays healthy, do you see something really bright for him?
Yes, I do. And we like his inside-outside flex. He can play outside corner and play the nickel. He's very bright, and he's got excellent movement and jumping ability.
Cravon LeBlanc.
Yeah, he's just a tough competitor. He's kind of the glue of the group. He's a great competitor. He works hard every day, and he'll come in and man all those spots as well.
And Adrian Amos, when you're a starter for a couple years, I'm sure it's not easy to accept that you're not a starter. But where is his head at, and how is he coming along, and how do you keep him up?
Okay, well, he's working really hard, and he had a very good training camp, and you know, excellent movement, and played really well all through camp. Now he's in a different role. And the time will only tell on how that works out for him. But right now, he's taking on a special teams role, and he's ready to step in if we need him.
Ed, always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate
it. My pleasure, too.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
Earlier tonight, head coach John Fox on how things went yesterday in Tampa.
Okay, anytime you turn it over four times just in the first half, you're going to have some trouble no matter who you're playing.
So do you lose sleep on that one?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was very frustrating to watch and, you know, just the combination of things that happened. I think we walked in at halftime. There were three non-completions, and all of them were turnovers, sack, fumble, and two interceptions. And, you know, you go into halftime at 26-0, and, you know, our guys hung in there the second half, but was too little too late.
Even along the way, that number three, you talked about those three incompletions. three defensive penalties in that first half that could have changed the circumstances, field position or whatnot. I mean, that's also a very significant thing.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, defensively, you hold a group like that to one touchdown, and even that was helped by a foul that was pretty questionable, the one on Willie Young. They gave him first and goal. You know, that was one of the ones we had him off on their touchdown.
And then the defense put it in a very difficult spot because of the Tari Cohen decision. That one, it seems like unthinkable that anybody would ever try to do that. Is that just a part of, and I'm not making excuses for him, there are none really, but he thinks big. He thinks he could scoop it and probably run away from these guys.
And that's what makes him special. You know, I think, in that situation with three guys hanging around you, it's on the second bounce. You just get away from it. And those are lessons that he'll learn, and he still has a bright future ahead of him.
Even though coaches instruct all these guys, especially the young ones, I mean, and it's all fundamental at some point, in the heat of the moment, you really don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I mean,
he may not be listening.
In that case, again, it's, he realized it, but a little bit too little too late.
You knew this was going to happen. If Mike Lennon had a game or a moment that happened like yesterday, the conversation was going to be loud about the quarterback position, given how everybody was intrigued by what Mitchell Trubisky did in the preseason and whatnot. So you had to be aware that this was going to be a discussion point after the game.
Well, no doubt. You know, I think, a week ago against Atlanta, you know, I think Mike played well enough for us to win. He did have a couple of drops at the end of that game. And really, to be honest with you, he had six drops yesterday. Otherwise, his numbers are a little bit better. But, you know, it came down to a couple decisions. I know he'd like to have back. We'd like to have back. And, that's his second football game. You know, I think it's
Can we talk about that a little more in depth? Because I know you go out and get somebody in free agency. He's named the starter. He holds on to that starting position. He starts the season. But the fact is, again, nobody's making excuses, but it is more of a he hasn't played a lot of football in the last 3 years.
No, and it's a new system. You know, I think, again, we've got to be better. We got to do a better job of coaching it. We got to do a better job of executing it. He made some good plays yesterday. It's just a matter of, the couple of that were a little bit rough that all of us would like to have back, were very critical. So he'll get better for it. And, I think his supporting cast will get better for it. And, we've got all this week to prepare for Pittsburgh Steelers.
Many different circumstances would dictate making changes during a game. What would those be for a John Fox coach football team, aside from an injury situation? Do you look a guy in the eye and see if he's still dialed in, ready to go? Or what types of things do you evaluate during the course of a game to make that decision?
Yeah, it's happened before, in my career. It's just you kind of know. I think right now is way too early to do anything like that. As we prepare Mike, it's hard to get everybody ready for a game as far as reps. Back to Mike again, I thought he did some good things, some very good things. He made some good throws, some tough throws. We haven't been well-oiled at wide receiver at this point, so, that's a factor. Like I said, we did have six drops. And so, it's a supporting cast, too. It's not always just one guy.
That is Bears head coach John Fox as the Bears now prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And boy, what a lineup they have offensively to deal with. We're talking about some really talented players, Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. The Steelers have yet to trail. In the first two games of the season, they did have the good fortune not having to deal with quarterbacks that have experience, DeShone Kizer for one, and then yesterday's big win. I did not include Sam Bradford for the Vikings, but a big win yesterday for the Steelers. They'll come to Soldier Field. That's going to wrap us up for head coach John Fox, defensive back coach Ed Donatell, our producer Dan Barilli tonight, Andy Gersher, and studio producer Keith Johnson. Bears Steelers from Soldier Field, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff, Sunday.